Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Psalms tonight. I want to preach straight out of the 23rd Psalm. And I have loved this Psalm since I was a kid. I used to hear my mama quote it, and I memorized it as a child, and I've read it at many a funeral. I have given it to someone going through a deep valley. I have seen it printed on blankets, tattooed on arms. I've seen it spoken by people who did not know the Lord. But I'll tell you, these last 5 years, it has meant more to me than it ever has in my life. And I want to preach it verse by verse tonight with the help of the Holy Ghost of God. Psalm 23, would you stand tonight? Psalm 23. Say amen for the Bible, would you? Amen. Say it one more time for the Word of God. Hey, don't you think this psalm is so good we can all say it together tonight? Come on now, let's say it together. Let's just have a big choir in unison quoting the 23rd Psalm. Everybody in Clayton, even those that are getting ready for bed, gonna have to stay up till we finish. All right, let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you meet with us tonight? Thank you, Lord, for the peace we can have when we know Jesus, that we can say it and know it. It is well with my soul. I pray, Father God, that you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Oh, God, I pray, God, that you would bind the forces of Satan. In no way let him hinder the work of the Holy Ghost of God. Would you watch over my wife tonight? Would you watch over my family while I'm gone? And would you take care of them better than I could if I were with them? Meet with us in a very special way, and we'll praise you for doing what nobody else can. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. There are more than 500 references to sheep in the Bible. I said sheep. Everybody say that word sheep. Sheep, more than 500 times they're referenced. They represented chief wealth and livelihood of people. From sheep, you got food and milk to drink and wool to make cloth and covering for tents. Sheep were also used as a medium of exchange and as a source of sacrifices on the altar. But as valuable as sheep have always been and are, their very nature is one of gentle and submissiveness. Sheep are gullible. That means, as Isaiah said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Jeremiah said, I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I know not that they had devised devices against me. Please hear me tonight. You can get milk from them. You can get food from them. You can get cloth from them. You can cover tents with them. They can keep you warm. You can get livelihood from them. You can exchange them, and you can offer them on an altar as a sacrifice. But as valuable as they are, they're gullible. They can be ready to die and not even know it. I would say tonight they are defenseless. Michael said, as a lion among the flocks of the beast of the sheep and of the flocks of the young lion of the flocks of the sheep, who if he goeth through both treadeth down and teareth into pieces, and none can deliver. Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Hear me now. You can get milk from them. You can get food from them. You can clothe people with them. You can cover tents with them. You can exchange them and you can sacrifice. But they are gullible, too dumb to know they're going to be attacked, and they're defenseless. As valuable as they are, they can't fight off a wolf. They can't whoop a lion. They can't defend themselves against a bear. Remember what David said? The lion came against my sheep and I killed him. The bear came against my sheep and I killed him. You know why David had to kill him? Because the sheep could not kill their enemy. They're valuable, but they must be defended. They're in constant need of guidance and care. Numbers 27:17 says, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. 9:36 of Matthew, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. 53:6 of Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you hear what these passages are saying? You can get milk from them. You can get food from them. You can cover tents with them. You can stay warm with them. You can exchange them. You can sacrifice them. You can get livelihood from them. But they're too gullible. They are easily led astray. They are defenseless. They cannot fight off their enemies. And they are in constant need of guidance and care. If you don't lead them, they'll get lost. If you don't guide them, they'll wander off. If you don't show them where to go, they'll go the wrong place. If you're not telling them what to do, they'll end up in trouble. They need somebody guiding them. I'm here to tell you, on this Monday night, they must be guided. They must be led. They must be defended. They must be sheltered. They must be looked out for. They must be watched. They must be fed. They must be helped. They must be guided. They must be taken care of. What you're saying tonight? I'm saying sheep need a shepherd. And when the Holy Ghost of God would inspire what would become the most famous psalm in all of the Word of God, who better for him to talk to than a boy that was a shepherd by vocation? What it must have felt like in David's heart when he received the transmission from the Holy Spirit to write these very words. In my mind, I can sense David saying, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, Holy Ghost. These sheep that I keep every day, they're gullible. They need me. They're defenseless. They need me. They need to be guided. They need to be cared for. They need to be watched. They need to be led. They need to be fed. He must have been looking at them sheep thinking, they can't make it without me, because by nature, sheep need a shepherd. But can I tell you, on a Monday night, I don't think David was just looking at the sheep saying, hey, sheep, y'all need me, and I am your shepherd. I think David must have been looking in the mirror saying, I'm just not a shepherd for some sheep, but I'm a sheep that needs a shepherd. I'm gullible. I'm so easily led astray. I'm defenseless. I can't fight off my enemies. I need somebody guiding me, somebody leading me, somebody shepherding me, somebody helping me. I'll get lost if I'm not following somebody right. I'll mess up if somebody ain't showing me. I'll get in trouble if somebody ain't guiding me. I'll be in a mess if somebody ain't taking care of me. My enemies come, I'm in trouble. That bear attacks me, I'm in trouble. That old lion tries to get me, I'm in trouble. I got sheep and they need me, but I'm a shepherd and I need somebody. I'm glad my sheep got a shepherd, but I'm glad this sheep has a shepherd too. And my shepherd ain't my governor, ain't my prince, ain't my president, ain't my mama, ain't my daddy, ain't my friend, ain't my wife, ain't my kids, ain't my homie, ain't my dog, ain't my girl, ain't my home girl. No, no, no. The Lord is my shepherd. And I've come to tell you tonight, whether I'm in Clayton, North Carolina, or I'm in Washington, D.C., it really doesn't matter. We're just in a world full of sheep. Can I get an amen? I wish somebody would just keep it real tonight and say, preacher, you preaching right to me, because guess what? I'm preaching to me too. Aren't you realizing tonight that in this crazy world, we're gullible? In this crazy world, we're defenseless and under attack. In this crazy world, we need guidance and care. I need help as a husband. I need help as a pastor. I need help as a daddy. I need help as a papa. I need help as a mentor. I need help as a leader. I need help as a teacher. I can't get it from YouTube. I can't get it from Amazon. I can't get it from Dr. Phil. I can't get it from Oprah. I thank God for friends. I thank God for family. I thank God for how-to conferences. But I'm glad tonight I ain't a sheep licking my finger and guessing in the air. I ain't looking on Fox News or CNN how to lead my family. I got a shepherd. And I've come tonight to tell you the Lord is my shepherd. Boy, if he's yours tonight, would you say amen? And if he is yours tonight, I want to tell you what Psalm 23 says you have if you have the Lord as my shepherd. Quickly tonight, verse by verse, I could tell you tonight, if the Lord is your shepherd, you have complete satisfaction. Can I get an amen? I said you got complete satisfaction. How? Because of the inherent sensitivity of the shepherd. In other words, the shepherd knows the sheep so well, he can just look at them and know what they need. Aren't you glad we got a shepherd who can just look at us and know what we need. He's not only a shepherd with inherent sensitivity, but he's the shepherd who is our infinite source. The Lord is my shepherd. Notice what he said. I shall not want. Watch this. I shall not. You know what he said? I will not lack. I will not go without a need met. I will not get in a situation he can't fix. I will not face a problem he can't solve. I will not have a question he can't answer. I will not approach a mountain he can't move. I will not have a sickness that he, somebody help me preach tonight. He's my infinite source, and I'm satisfied. Why do people want to change how God made them? Why do people want to take their life away? Why do people want to go away and try to find somewhere else to be? They move locations. They change genders. They find something else out, and they're still not satisfied. Oh, I like what the old gospel singer said. I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. I've been buked at, scorned, and run down, sure as you're born. I've been up, down, and almost to the ground. But as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Oh, he said, I'm satisfied. Somebody help me preach tonight. You say, I'm not satisfied. You got the wrong shepherd. Complete satisfaction. Notice verse number 2. The Lord is my shepherd. I have a controlled supply. He maketh me. Notice those verses say, he maketh me, verse 2, and he leadeth me. He maketh me to do what? Notice his divine placement. He maketh me to lie down. That's purposeful downtime. Purposeful downtime. I said purposeful down. Please listen to me tonight. If the shepherd has you down, it's for a purpose. He maketh me to lie down. God doesn't lie you down just to make you feel bad. God doesn't make you lie down just to get on your nerves. He maketh you me to lie down. He gives me a purposeful downtime so he can give me a proper diet in green pastures. Hey, God's got you lying down because he knows there's something green there. Come on, somebody help me preach. I don't like losing my job. I don't like getting sick. I don't like a trial slowing me down. I don't like situations happening in my life that I didn't plan on. Listen to me. It ain't about what you like. It's about what the shepherd knows you need. He makes you lie down in green pastures. Instead of complaining about where he made you lie down, why don't you look around and get them green pastures? He gives me divine placement, but he gives me a directed pleasure. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Notice, he leadeth me beside the what? Still water. Come on, talk to me. Beside the what? He didn't say the rapid waters. He didn't say the raging waters. He didn't say the rumbling waters. He didn't say the boisterous waters. He didn't say the loud waters. He didn't say the stormy waters. He said the still waters. I said the still waters. You know, it's a picture of peace, serenity, what they were just singing about. It is well with my soul. Hey, somebody said, I know what I need to have peace. I need to get rid of my problems. No. Peace is not that you don't have problems. Peace is that your problems don't have you. He leaves me beside the still waters. The still waters. My family pressured me several years ago into getting a pool. I thought this is a good idea, and then I found out what it costs. So we finally got one, and I think this is the third or fourth summer that it's been open. I think they closed it today now that it's starting to get cold. You know what, preacher? I've been in it one time. Just once. Now, my kids been in it, guests been in it, other folks been in it. Deontay, his wife, bring the grandboy, they get in it, teaching them how to swim. I just really don't enjoy swimming. After I take a shower in the morning, I've met my quota with water for the day. But I will tell you what I do enjoy. I enjoy sitting in one of them pool chairs at the end of the day beside the still waters. I wish somebody helped me preach. Y'all don't even know what I'm going to say, but you ought to get happy because you think you finna know what I'm going to say. There's just something about being beside the still waters and just listening to them. You know what it said? Everything going to be all right. Come on now. I said, everything going to be all right. David said, I know what it is to be a sheep hunted by Saul. I know what it is to be a sheep hunted by Absalom. I know what it is to be a sheep that the Absalom, that the Philistines are trying to catch. And when you're under those battles, and when you're going through life, and you're so hot, and you're so dry, and you're so arid, and you're so dehydrated, listen to me, this world will suck the life out of you. I lay on the bed in 2020 with pneumonia in both of my lungs, and I talk like, I met my dear sister here tonight who's battling pulmonary fibrosis, and we were just talking about what it feels like sometimes to be short of breath and take this inhaler. I never used an inhaler in my life. The preacher would tell you, I used to break sound systems. I was so loud, they told me, we put a compressor when you come to town. You just screaming the buttons off the soundboard. I know what it is to lay in a hospital and you're hurting to breathe, and it feels like an elephant is sitting on your chest. And hey, David said, when I'm hot, when I'm hunted, when I'm weary, when the sin and the degradation of society, when the bad laws and the wickedness and the hatred and the vitriol, by the way, not just in the world, but even with some people that claim the name of Jesus, when it wears you out and dehydrates you, and you feel like you have no breath in your lungs, thank God you get in line behind the shepherd, and he knows where the still waters are. Some of you've come tonight weary. Life's beating you up. It's wearing you out.
Well, that's the truth.
You can't pay your bills, and your marriage is on the rocks, and your prodigal won't come home, and you feel like every day you go to work, you come back home gasping for air spiritually, and you think a cup of coffee, a stress ball, a round of golf, and some yoga gonna solve your problem. I'm saying, get in line behind the shepherd.
Amen.
He knows where all the still waters are.
Amen.
Wow. He says, I have a controlled supply. I have complete satisfaction. Thirdly, I have contributed strength. Contributed strength. He restoreth my soul. You know what restore means? It means to bring back. It means to bring back to use. It means to bring back to original condition. It means to get you back on track. Hey, aren't you glad the shepherd's in the restoring business? I hate to say it, but sometimes the body of Christ is not that good with restoration. Sometimes people don't know how to take you back even though somebody took them back. They don't know what it means to forgive you even though they've been forgiven. Some church folk are the hardest people to be yourself around, because once you tell them your frailties and your faults, they'll look down on you like they weren't headed to the same hell you were headed to. But when you can't get people to restore you, just put your hand up and go on past them and say, I got a shepherd who outranks you. He restoreth my soul. I tell the story in 2015, we were on a couples retreat, and all of us couples from the church were in the first time in Delaware, Christiana, Delaware, and my brother and his wife and my sister and her husband, and my wife and I, and different couples from the church, my parents at the couples retreat, and my brother was leading the beginning of the first session, and we all went out to Cheesecake Factory, and we were all eating, maybe a bunch of couples, and I was on one end, he was on the other end, and I heard somebody call me from the other end. It was my sister-in-law. Can he come? And I ran down, and he pushed away from the table, and he was gasping. He said, I feel like something's burning in my chest, and we called the paramedics, and they led him out and took him in the ambulance, and we're sitting there in a town we've never been in outside of Cheesecake Factory, and they said, we're going to take him to the hospital, and we followed behind the ambulance to the hospital in a town we've never been in, a hospital we've never visited. I'm sitting in the waiting room with my wife and two other couples. I said, nobody's coming out saying anything. I'm going back to find out. If they don't let the brother back there, they better let the preacher back there. And so I went back there, and I'm seeing all these doctors gathered around the bed. His wife is standing beside him, and I hear them say, sir, your heart is beating at 290 beats a minute. You are in a very lethal arrhythmia called VFib. Most of the people that come to the hospital have already died because of VFib. Your heart cannot last at that rhythm. Truth be told, it's not beating, it's quivering in a deadly arrhythmia. We can't let it stay that way. So we're going to shock your heart and hope that by shocking it, it gets it back on rhythm. However, there's a chance when we shock your heart that it may stop beating. He called us to the front of the bed and looked at his wife and looked at me, said, tell everybody I love them. I said, you're going to be fine. I stood there like it was a movie. They put those pads on him. He's a big guy. They shocked him. He bounced off the bed, and I watched the screen flatline. And immediately they started CPR on him. And as they were doing CPR, they grabbed his wife and me, led us out of the room, closed the door, and I'm standing there embracing her, texting the family members in the waiting room, texting my parents who'd gone back to the room, get up here to the hospital. They're texting church members, texting his son who's in college, running down the hallway in the dorms, getting people to pray in the middle of the night. I said, it's not looking good. Every couple minutes, the nurse came out, said, we don't have a pulse. I could see them in there, still pumping his chest. Few more minutes. We don't don't have a pulse. Few more minutes. We don't have a pulse. Few more minutes. We don't have. We're calling on God. Could I tell you, for 26 and a half minutes, I've heard they don't even normally pump that long. For 26 and a half minutes, they pumped his heart until the nurse came out and said, "We have a pulse. We have a pulse." They rushed into the cath lab to find no blockage. We found out it was V-fib. They put a defibrillator in him the next morning. He was in the hospital several days. 2 weeks later, we drove back up there to visit the cardiologist. And the cardiologist, a man who was not saved, I don't think he was, looked at us. I had it on record. He said, "There's no way to explain how you're alive. You were dead and God brought you back to life." Could I tell you, my friend, you live this life long enough, your heart will get off a rhythm. Your heart won't beat right. You'll try to shout your way back, to praise your way back. You'll go to another service, hear your favorite speaker, get it signed, listen to a podcast, try to quote scriptures, and somehow you can't get back on rhythm. Could I tell you, the shepherd restores your soul. Amen. That's what David said. He gives me timely correction, thorough cleansing, tender compassion. He gets me back on track. Listen to me. You know why you need revival from God? He's the only one that can restore your soul. Wow. Notice he has capable supervision, complete satisfaction, controlled supply, contributed strength. Notice his capable supervision. Verse number 3, second part. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. I said, in the path of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Come on. Come on, sheep. Come on, sheep. Keep it real tonight. Come on, sheep. Come on. It's 2025. I know you're a little dignified, elite, Monday night going to church self, but just keep it real tonight. We have trouble doing right. Okay, and those of you that don't have trouble doing right have trouble telling the truth about doing right. Hey, David said, he said, I have trouble finding the righteous path, but I don't want to follow him. He leadeth me. He leads me on a righteous path. He leads me on a righteous path. Here's what he's saying. When I follow him, I do right. I'm a right husband when I follow him. I'm the right father when I follow him. I'm the right path. I don't just want to give the people of Crossroads Baptist Church a sermon from a briefcase. They need a word from the Lord. I can't get that off online messages. I got to get it from the shepherd. He leads me in a righteous path. Watch this now. For a rightful purpose. In the text, please. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Don't miss those last few words.
Yes, sir.
For his name's sake.
Yes, sir.
Ha. For his name. He lead me in the paths of righteousness so I can brag about it. He lead me in the paths of righteousness so I can say I'm a bigger name preacher than somebody else. He lead me in the paths of righteousness so I can get on somebody's speaking schedule. He didn't lead me in the paths of righteousness so I can get more internet followers. He didn't lead me in the paths of righteousness so I can walk around like a Pharisee. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his neck. I think that David's saying, ain't nobody walking up to a pack of sheep and say, "Well, y'all walking so straight. How in the world do you do that?" No. If the sheep walking straight, somebody show me where the shepherd is.
Yes,
when's the last time somebody was so impressed with your straight walking, they asked who your shepherd was?
Yes, sir. Amen.
When's the last time in this pagan world someone was so impressed with your straight walking marriage? They said, "Who's your shepherd?" When's the last time your adolescent testimony shook up somebody so much when 3 out of 4 seniors graduated without their virginity and 20% of 15-year-olds have sex by the time they turn 15? When's the last time you walked so pure somebody said, "You didn't get that out of a cereal box. Please tell me who your shepherd is."
Yes, sir. Amen.
Somebody in 2025 needs to make the shepherd look good. And the only way to make the shepherd look good is to follow him in a righteous path for a rightful purpose. Wow. He gives me a calming solace. Yea, though. Yea, though. Oh, what do you mean, yea, though? He said, and even when.
Yes.
And even though.
Yes.
Even though I get down in the valley. Oh, don't you wish you never came to the yea, though? Don't. this is the part where I feel like the sheep are coming down off the mountaintop where it's lit up, and all of a sudden the terrain is going downward, and as it goes downward, it's not as easily navigated, and the footing in the sheep is slipping. And not only is the footing slipping, but the sight to see where the sheep is walking is now being blocked because it's going down a valley, and there's a natural hesitation in a sheep's progress when he's going down into the dark where it's not easily navigated. What does a sheep go when he hesitates to go down in the valley? I'll tell you what he does. When the fretful plight comes, the sheep can have a fearless persuasion because he's accompanied by a faithful presence. David said, when I go down where I cannot see and I walk down where it's not easy to walk, I don't have to fear because I ain't walking by myself. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Ma'am, you need to leave now. That's what the doctor said. Ma'am, you need to leave now. I said, what are you talking about? I said, in the hospital. I'd been in North Carolina. I wasn't feeling well. I'd come back home. I'd been to the doctor. I'd been to the hospital that morning. I was back again. My lungs had deteriorated in hours in a way that it normally took days. My bride was sitting in the room beside me. The emergency room doctor says, we need to test you. And then he looked at my wife and said, ma'am, you need to leave now. I looked at her. A few days later, I wondered if I'd seen her in person for the last time. Were it not for the help of a smartphone that could put her face on there, I might have given up. The doctor came in every morning just for a few minutes. The nurses said, figure out what you want because we're only coming in every 4 hours. We're not only trying to save you, but we're trying to protect ourselves. I sat in a room that did not allow any air to get out of the room. That's how serious it was. I turned the TV off because every time I turned it on, they told me who was dying. I said, doctor, tell me I'm going to get better. He said, I can't. You're a man of faith, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, you better hope for that. I sat in my room, and in between my room was glass doors and a prep room for those that came in. And I could watch them gown up, fully gowned up, fully gloved up, fully masked up, never saw their faces. It wasn't until I got home from the hospital on a virtual appointment that I actually saw what the doctor looked like. I'd never seen her face. I lay in a hospital bed longing for about 7:45 every morning when the lady that cleaned my room would come in and mop the floor and pull the trash, because it was the only time of the day for about 5 minutes they left the door open and I could look into the hall. It was like a glimpse into the real world for just a few moments. My wife could not visit, couldn't even leave the house. My parents, my mama said, my baby's in the hospital, maybe dying, and I can't go see him. My family members couldn't come. The church members couldn't come. My son couldn't come. My kids couldn't come. The security was on lockdown. Nobody could come up in that hospital because there was a virus so lethal and so deadly, even the doctors were afraid to stay in there very long. But I'm telling you, they couldn't lock my shepherd out. And somehow he got past the guards and past the doors, and he came in there unmasked and unrobed and sat beside me in that bed. He said, it's going to be all right. Your valley may not be COVID. Your valley may not be diabetes. Your valley may not be fibrosis. Your valley may not be what somebody else's valley. But every sheep has to go down the valley. Teenager, you're going to have to go down in the valley. Mama can't go. Daddy can't go. Preacher can't go. But there's no valley you're going to go down into that the shepherd won't go with you. Amen. He's my comforting security. I'm wrapping up. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What do you mean? What do you mean, David? What do you mean? What are you talking to Jesus about? Telling Jesus his rod and staff comforts you. Well, the only way David could say that Jesus' rod and staff, figuratively, as Jesus, as a shepherd, comforted him, is to know what his own rod and staff did for his sheep. David knew why he used his rod. His rod was thicker and shorter, like a club. And the use of the shepherd's rod was for multiple reasons. Let me give you a couple of them. One, for a counting process. The sheep would go underneath the rod. And as each sheep would cross underneath the rod, over the sheep's head, maybe with a tap or at least with a slight drop, the shepherd would count the sheep. 1, 2, 3, 4. How many of you know if you left the house with 100, an hour later you wanted to still have 100? According to Luke 15, if you had 99, he'll leave the 99 and go look for the one. Aren't you glad that the shepherd come looking for you?
Yes.
Oh, somebody help me preach.
Yes,
I said he come looking for you.
Yes.
I feel so, I might go down there and eat one of them cookies right now. I feel so good. The shepherd come looking for you. Amen. But he also used the rod for credible protection. The rod was thick enough, solid enough. If a lion or a bear or a wolf came at the sheep, it could not get to the sheep because it had to go through the shepherd, and it couldn't get past the shepherd because the shepherd had a rod.
Amen.
What about the staff? Huh? The staff was skinnier and longer. And the staff was not used for credible protection. The staff, on the contrary, was used for a connecting pull. If the sheep wanted to wander off from the shepherd with a long staff could take it with the hook around it and wrap it around the neck of that sheep and say, "Get back over here, sheep."
Yes, sir.
If the sheep got caught in the ditch where the shepherd couldn't reach, he'd pull out that staff and put, oh, somebody help me preach. I think David's saying, my Jesus got a rod. And now Jesus got a rod. I may wake up some days and feel like I'm lost, but the shepherd pulls out his rod and say, he don't never lose no sheep. He counts for me. And my shepherd has credible, but oh, when that wolf and that lion comes after me, he can't get to me. He's got to go through my shepherd, and my shepherd's got a rod. But he not only has a rod for a credible protection, he's got a staff for a connecting pull. See, the credible protection is to run the enemies off from the sheep, but the connecting pull is to bring the sheep back to the shepherd. How many of you are glad tonight when you thought with your big and bad self you could walk away from God, he put that staff around your neck and said, get back over here. Come on to revival on Monday night. You know you need it, my sheep. Come on back on Tuesday night. You know you need it. Didn't that singing help you? Didn't that singing help you? Listen, won't God's word help you? Thank God the shepherd pulls you in even when you're wandering away. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice the convenient spread, thou preparest the table before me. David said, I like following the shepherd. He feed good.
Amen.
A table. Huh? A table. I said a table before me. Not a toothpick with a piece of bourbon chicken on it. A table. A whole meal. It's a sovereign preparation. Amen. That's what the spread is. The convenient spread is a sovereign preparation. In other words, he prepares the spread. Amen. It's a splendid provision, a table before me. Watch this now. And there are some sighting people that are watching in the presence of mine enemies. Oh, the preacher was talking a little bit. Listen, you serve God long enough, you're going to have some enemies. And if you don't have no enemies, you ain't doing nothing for God. You serve God. Listen, I determined a long time ago, I wasn't even going to waste time fighting my enemies. They're not my problem. If they're staring at me because they can't stand me, let them look. Instead of eating me, they're going to watch my shepherd feed me. You trying to get me if you want to. You know what you're going to find out? Good gracious alive, you got a good shepherd. Aren't you glad he not only feeds you, but he feeds you and lets your enemies watch? Don't waste your energy fighting with people. Use your energy to follow your shepherd. Many an enemy has come back and said, my bad. My bad. I was looking at you to eat you. Instead, I watched how good you eat. There's a covering sufficiency. Now anointest my head with oil. The oil is a picture of the anointing, the Spirit's filling. Aren't you glad that the shepherd knew how to anoint the sheep with oil? Come on now. Aren't you glad that Jesus is still in the anointing business? So somebody recently said, I don't believe in using that word anointing. Well, go ahead. Miss out on good Bible words. Amen. Just because people misuse it don't mean I'm going to not use it. Don't let people using it wrong have you not using it at all. Now anointest my head with oil. I'm glad that for his work he will anoint us.
Amen.
glory to God. That's the Spirit's filling and the supplied fullness. My cup, what? We got some country folk in the building. When it run out the cup, it goes into the saucer. Yeah. And when it start running out the saucer, you got to pick that saucer up and do what? Brother Ken? Slurp it down. That David said, that oil gets so thick sometime it's running over. I got to just slurp it down.
Amen.
Covering sufficient. Let me close this message. He said, there's a consequential surety.
Yes.
See, consequences can be good or bad. David said, when you follow the shepherd, consequences are good.
Amen.
Notice how he begins verse 6 of Psalm 23. Surely.
Yes.
Surely. Not a lot of stuff you can be sure about, is it? We don't even know when the government's going to open back. But when you know the shepherd, there's some things you can be sure about.
Yes.
Somebody help me preach.
Yes.
Surely. What's the consequential surety for the sheep following the shepherd? Here it is. Favorable conviction.
Yes.
Favorable. Aren't you glad there's some things we believe in the Bible that are actually in our favor?
Amen. Amen.
Favorable conviction. I said favorable conviction.
Yes.
What you believe about God is in your favor. What's favorable conviction include? Well, precious components.
Yes.
Listen, goodness and mercy. Say it with me.
Goodness.
Say it again.
Goodness.
One more time.
Goodness.
Those precious components.
Amen.
I said those are precious components.
Yes.
They don't sell those at Walmart.
Right.
I said goodness and mercy.
Amen.
They don't legislate that in Congress. I said goodness and mercy. They don't hand that out in the church line when you're walking out the door. I said goodness and mercy. Those are precious components. Now, notice their particular conveyance. Goodness and mercy. Notice the text. Shall follow me. That's a particular conveyance. The precious components, goodness and mercy. But the particular conveyance, he says, shall follow me. In the Hebrew, the word is radof. Here's the word follow in the Hebrew. Chase, hunt,
amen.
Pursue.
Come on.
Amen.
David knew what it was to be chased.
Yes, sir.
He knew what it was to be hunted.
That's right.
And he knew what it was to be pursued.
Right.
And most commonly, when he was hunted, chased, and pursued, it was by something or somebody that was not for his good.
Right.
Raise your hand if you've ever been chased by something or somebody that was not for your good. Sometimes it's the cops. I sat in the parking lot at night and saw a cop car pull up in there. I said, oh my goodness, they done followed you, Deontay. No, I'm just kidding. It's not fun to look behind you and see somebody running after you that wants to destroy you. But David said, when I'm following the shepherd, I look in my rearview mirror and it ain't no dog. It ain't no Saul. It ain't no Philistine. It's them two twins, goodness and mercy, chasing me down. Preacher, I've been in some places emotionally, physically, financially that nobody knew. It was as if I took a plane, a train, a bus, an Uber, a scooter, roller skates, and a skateboard and walk the rest of the way to a remote cabin in the middle of nowhere. I'm talking about when you go through something you don't tell anybody about.
Yes.
There's no way anybody could know what I was going through. When in that cabin, I'm talking about proverbially, emotionally, relationally, not a real physical cabin. I'm talking about going through something in my life by myself. In that remote cabin with no Wi-Fi, no satellite service, no cell phone signal. Just me, myself, and I all by myself. Nobody knew what I was going through. Just sitting in that cabin. What in the world?
Hey.
I ain't tell nobody where I was. I didn't tell nobody what I was going. I didn't tell nobody I had a financial need. What was somebody doing putting something in my hand? I didn't tell nobody I was. Why did they call me and say, God laid me on your heart today? I went to the cabin door and looked through the peephole wondering who found me, and two twins were waving, goodness and mercy. You follow the shepherd, listen to me, you won't have to chase down goodness and mercy, they'll chase you down.
Amen.
Somebody said to Brother Hobbs, I don't like that old goodness of God song. It's unscriptural. What Bible are you reading? Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running. I don't like that song. That's not in the Bible. Well, just throw out John 3:16, everything else, since you're just tossing out stuff that's already in there. Bible did say something about messing with the book.
Yes.
Do you believe that verse?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's where we get the song from. Your goodness is running after. David said, goodness and mercy shall it literally means to hunt or pursue. So stop criticizing songs that are more biblical than the ones you actually sing.
Yes.
I have lived in the goodness of God. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed sometimes how good God's been to me. Preacher, you've had blessings happen to you. I guarantee you, you didn't even want to tell because you worried people might get jealous of how good God was. You know God real good when you're scared to even tell people. They think you're lying. We've lived in the goodness of God. David said, this is my favorable conviction. I've got precious components, goodness and mercy. I've got particular conveyance, shall follow me. I've got a prolonged continuance all the days of my life. That's my favorable conviction. What you gonna do with it, Dave? He said, I'm gonna add to my favorable conviction a fervent commitment. Because he's so good to me, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's just not fair. Brother Ken, it's not fair. It's not fair that he's so good and we're so bad. We have a commitment problem in the Christian world. People don't want to commit. I know family members don't want to get married, but they've been living together for 10 years. They don't want to commit. Church, we're going to have a work day around the church next month. We're going to put out a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Sign up. Oh, Pastor, I couldn't sign up this far in advance. Something might come up next month. Well, if it comes up, send it back down. What cruise can you go on without signing up months in advance? I had appointments with doctors when I was coming out of the hospital. They were so busy, they couldn't book me for 6 months. So you can commit to be at a doctor's office in 6 months, but you can't commit to be at God's house.
Come on. Come on. Good. Yes, sir.
You're living off of his commitment and shamming on your own. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. I'm making it because you've committed to give me goodness and mercy all the days of my life. You've signed the contract for me, Jesus, but I'm a little gun shy about signing it for you. Stop using his commitment if you won't offer your own.
Amen.
David said, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm closing with two questions. Do we not have the perfect shepherd?
Amen.
Could I ask it one more time? I think the amens could go up just a little bit. Do we not have the perfect shepherd?
Amen.
Question two in closing. Don't you cover that girl's mouth. She said what she supposed to say. Amen. I receive it. And here's my second question. Could we not be better sheep? Then in just a moment. As a matter of fact, forget the moment. I just feel in my spirit. If you think because of how good your shepherd is, that you could be a better sheep for him. Listen to me. Get up now. Come tell him. Say, Lord, I want to be a better sheep. You've been too good to me. So Some of you young people, all you've ever known is church. Why don't you sign a contract tonight and say, I will dwell. I don't know what's going to happen next year. I don't know what's going to go on in the Middle East, but I know I'm going to have goodness and mercy, so I'm going to sign on to be in his house. I've lived in the goodness of God. I've lived in the goodness of God. I've lived in the goodness of God. Why don't you tell him, I'm going to do better. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to work more. You've been too good for me to be so bad. Why don't you tell him you're sorry? Why don't you tell him, Lord, I'm going to promise to be in your house. I'm going to promise to stay faithful. I'm going to promise to keep serving you. I'm going to promise to not quit. I don't know what will happen in this world, but I know I'll never live without goodness and mercy. My, my, my. My, my, my. What a good shepherd we have. I want to be a better sheep. I really do. Because I can't get a better shepherd. Praise his holy name.